It was this day, June 4th, 1950, that K-Man Radio first went on the air. In a building downtown. Been a lot of things that have happened in the last 70 years, and I have four guests lined up today in recognition of our 70th anniversary. Our first guest will be Steve Jack, who is a former employee and son of Lowell Jack, who was, I believe, the longest-running employee at K-Man Radio, Manhattan Broadcasting. We'll also be visiting with Roger Hamilton, who was with the company for over 20 years as operations manager and morning show host. Rich Wartell, who was general manager of Manhattan Broadcasting, will be joining us later in the program. And current GM, Corey Dean Reeves, will be here as well. So we got a lot of fun things that I think are going to be highly educational. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. And let's go ahead and start with some reflection here. And I thought it was only appropriate to bring probably as a close a person as we could to Lowell Jack. And that is his son, Steve. And Steve, correct me, you're in Leavenworth, is that right?
That's right. We live just north of Lawrence and south of Tongatoxie in Leavenworth County. I'm the economic development director for Leavenworth County.
Well, you were here, and you know, the legend of the Shep is one thing that is associated with Steve Jack. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But I think at the beginning here, because, you know, your dad came on board here in the early 50s as a general manager, and, you know, the station had been on the air, you know, as we, you know, we don't have, honestly, a lot of information because a lot of the details and the recordings, documents, didn't survive the fire at the radio station in 1988. So that's why I want to have some of these memories that we can share with our listeners today from people that were here, or at least, you know, some of the stories that have been passed down from your dad to you. And I thought it would only be appropriate to have you. And, you know, I worked for your dad here in the mid-80s for a little bit. And, you know, he was one that personified community engagement more so than so many general managers and, you know, or people in radio in general have done. He was a real front runner in there. He's been recognized by so many things. Of course, you know, he was a city commissioner, mayor, chamber. My goodness, what a legacy he had. Tell us a little bit about your dad's journey into radio and here to Manhattan at K-Man.
Sure, Dave. Well, during World War II, Dad grew up in southeast Iowa in a little town of 600, a poor family, just a few miles outside a little larger community of Burlington, Iowa. And when the Second World War broke out, he volunteered to join the Navy, went out to the South Pacific. He was a coxswain on a small landing craft. And when he came back following the war, he was intrigued by this media, radio. And he graduated from the Pasadena Institute for Radio in Pasadena, California. One of his instructors was Steve Allen, and that's who I was named after. Steve Allen, the comedian.
Really?
The Tonight Show, Steve Allen. Yep. And you're talking to Steve Allen Jack. So that's my legacy. He worked as an announcer. He came back then from California and worked at KBUR in Burlington, Iowa, and that's where he met and married my mom, Phyllis. She worked at the U.S. Weather Bureau at the Burlington Airport, and Lowell introduced what he thought was the weatherman, and this female voice came on, and it was my mom. And so he was kidding some of the other DJs, and that sounded like a pretty interesting person at the airport. Maybe I'll go introduce myself. And so he beat the other DJs to go introduce himself to Phyllis, and 3 months later they were married. So they met on the air. And later he ran Perry, Iowa studios of KWBG, and then in 1954 moved to Manhattan. And he was only 29 when the Setons hired him as really the youngest general manager. in Kansas at the time, and then for several decades. I think there may have been somebody younger then, but he was 29 years old in 1954. I was 2 years old, and we moved to Manhattan and never looked back. I think you're absolutely right, though, about his interest in the community, and that's what made and makes KMAN today and back then so special, because it's a local radio station. It's not Sirius XM. It's not national. I know you have syndicated programs and stuff, but what makes it special is the local news and the local engagement in the community, and Dad always put that as a priority.
What are some of the stories that your dad had of the early days of KMAN?
Well, I mean, I remember the two-story building. You mentioned the building downtown on North 4th Street, just half a block off Points. I think it's a parking lot now. But the Manhattan Mercury was on the main floor, and KMAN was on the second floor. And there was a stage in the back of the studios to do live performances, and it was, you know, all 45s and talk shows. And, of course, they weren't playing in the 60s. They weren't playing Beatles, so I would go as a kid and rummage through and get the pop music, and KMAN was a little bit different. But Roger Hamilton will have some stories about Charlie Howe and Jim Kastner and Bill Ball and Barrick Wilson and Tom Reese and all the guys back at the old studios. But I do remember the tough times, the times when one time when we were out at the 2414 Case Monroe, where we are now, and a tornado hit and knocked the tower down in the back, the KMAN tower. And Bill, we went out after the tornado, and Bill Ball, the engineer at the time, had been he'd gotten out of his car just south of the building and was blown across the cornfield and was all muddied and stuff. And so there were those moments of challenge, and then they were back on the air with a they didn't put the tower up immediately. It took a little, you know, maybe a few weeks, but they were at a low level with cable running from the building to the transmitter. So anyway, those, and then, of course, the fire. You mentioned the fire. Was that 1988, Dave?
That was.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, and yet they he rebuilt the building and came back stronger and better than ever.
You were a part of then KMKF, which is now 101.5 K-Rock, and we'll talk about a transition there a little bit later on within the guides of you know, Manhattan broadcasting in general. But you had your own little shtick on KMKF shortly after it came on the air.
Yeah, but don't forget, I was also on KMAN for 11 years.
Because I did not know that.
Yes, what my role was, I would come out at I'd get up at noon. I would roll out of bed, go down to Aggieville, call on a couple of sales accounts I had, and then come out to the radio station at 4:30, and I anchored the evening edition of the news from 4:30 to 6:30, then go home for dinner, and then came back from 10 o'clock in the evening to 2 in the morning for the late night show, the Casement Road show, that we named after, gosh, Casement Road.
Imagine that.
So yes, and so we played album rock on the FM, which is now K-Rock, from 1972 to 1983.
And there was a lot of, you know, in the time even that you were involved live on the radio, considering what the studio was like when your dad came here in 1954 and what they started with in 1950, the technology advanced so much from live entertainment and little reel-to-reel tapes, not to mention transcription records.
Yes. Well, I have a transcription record of my dad interviewing me when I was 3 years old. No, 3 months old. And he interviewed me as an interviewer, and I just goo-gooed and gaga'd, and he took that for answers. And I think it was a Christmas message, but you're right. They were on kind of pre-magnetic tape. I think his audition tape was not a tape, but rather a record that he would send to radio stations as he went from KBUR to Perry to Manhattan. But I still remember there was a huge Gates board in the main control room, seemed like it was 5 or 6 feet long, wide, but it was probably only 4 feet wide, and two Gates turntables, one on each side, and four cartridge machines for the commercials. And if it was a Union National Bank 30-second commercial, it would be labeled UNBK 30, and we would record those and put music behind them. And then if you wanted to run an advertisement, you just plugged in. They looked like 8-track tapes, but just mono recordings. And then a reel-to-reel tape deck on the left in the rack with a lot of other equipment. So it was two turntables and a microphone, as well as cart machines and reel-to-reel tapes.
And for those of us in radio that you know, played with lots of reels and cart machines, and of course, you know, splicing blocks. It's quite a bit different in these days. Your dad, from what I understand, was a big proponent of Tuttle Creek, and that was a big deal in this community in the late 50s and 60s.
Absolutely. He was, actually, KMAN was named the State Conservation Communicator of the Year in 1966 by the Kansas Wildlife Federation. And then there was a convention in Washington, D.C. in 1967, and he received, on behalf of the radio station, the National Conservation Communicator of the Year Award. So not only, and there were radio stations that had mobile mics, you know, vans with their call letters on them, and I don't know whether you guys still have a KMAN or K-Rock van. You have a K-Rock van now?
Oh, we've got one for every station.
You got one for every station. Okay. Well, we had a KMAN mobile boat, and Lowell and Roger and others would go out with the mobile boat and interview fishermen and campers, and really promoted Tuttle Creek as a recreational lake. And so, yeah. This is another example of how he and KMAN were really engaged in the community, whether it was the Chamber or Tuttle Creek or on many, many fronts.
I don't know if you're aware of this or last time you were out here, but we have a hallway named after your dad with a number of photographs of him and the station over the years, including someone in the boat, but also a photograph of him and Gordon Jump, whom he hired and fired.
That's right. He did. Well, Gordon was hired and then after a couple of weeks fired because he couldn't chew gum and walk at the same time. He couldn't run the control board, be an engineer, and then be a performer, talk, or play records, or put the cart machines in and punch buttons and stuff. So you have to multitask, as you know, as an announcer. And so a few weeks later, though, we saw him on in a production of Purple Mask Theater at K-State, thought he was outstanding if he didn't have to punch buttons, and called his friend Thad Sandstrom and said, "I got a guy who I had to fire, but he would be great on TV." And so Thad, who was a GM at WIBW in Topeka TV, hired him as Wib the Clown and the Weekend Weatherman. And then later, of course, Gordon went on to soap and a great career in sitcoms and WKRP in Cincinnati as the big guy. And Gordon told Lowell, and he told me, that there were a couple of people that he had kind of formed what his view of what a general manager ought to be, although it's sometimes kind of bumbling. And Lowell was one of the people that he recognized as, okay, this is what a GM does at a radio station.
Steve, we could go on forever. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing some memories of your dad. You know, we're very grateful for the impact that he had, not only here at the radio station, but also in the community. And we're certainly grateful for you to take some of your very important time to visit with us here today on the 70th anniversary of K-Man Radio.
Thank you so much. I think, you know, I was thinking about this. Radio was really Lowell's life. Manhattan was his love. And he loved the community, and KMAN has been a part of that for 70 years. So happy birthday, Dave. Happy birthday, KMAN Radio.
Steve, Jack, appreciate the call, and we'll talk with you some other time, maybe on, maybe off the air. Thanks again.
Bye.
It's 1024 at News Radio KMAN. Next up on our visitation here on the 70th anniversary of News Radio KMAN, we'll be checking in with Roger Hamilton.